Good morning, dear night, wherever you're in the world. Welcome to the Survive and Drive podcast. Today we'll be discussing a few months.
Everything.
Yeah.
This is your favorite source of American-based F1 conversation, presented by me, Alex, and my co-host, Tyler. Let's race into it. That was good.
That one felt good.
First one back in a while, and you were sharp with it.
Oh, fuck.
Definitely not the third or fourth time we've recorded
that. Absolutely, the first take.
First take. So I think the last time we recorded, I think Lewis had not broken his streak yet. I don't believe we discussed that in the last pod, so it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
A lot has happened. We are very much, I think, at the last recording on the, things might start to get interesting here, but like, you know, this is still going to be Max and Red Bull's show. Obviously, a lot of that has changed since then. And, I mean, we'll get into it more. It's still going to be the drivers is still going to probably finish how we expected, but it's still open. Championship's still open, which wasn't the case at this point last year. And we could have a close finish at the end.
Yeah. I mean, I think the last time we did a podcast, there was some McLaren upgrades that were coming, and it was more of a TBD. There was Red Bull updates that were coming as well. Then the Red Bull updates took them backwards, and McLaren ended up catching up a little bit. We are kind of at the same spot right now, where both teams are bringing upgrades after this break. But
the points look a lot different is the difference.
They do. Yeah. Obviously, the Constructors' Championship looks to be much more on the side of McLaren.
Yeah.
Looks like they'll be taking that home if current form continues at all. Drivers' Championship, different story.
Yeah, it's drivers going to be tough with the points gap there is. It's going to be tough for Orlando to overcome that. It'd be shocking if Max doesn't win that still. And I would say, you know, listen, I'll be honest. I'm a McLaren guy, I'm a Lando guy. There's been a lot of missed opportunities this season for him.
Yeah.
And the team in general, I'd say, but for him especially, he's been very bad at the start of races. There's been some blown opportunities for him to salvage more points. I mean, obviously he's still closed that gap down over the last couple months, but I think had they capitalized what they should have, he probably would have won this year.
Missed opportunities and fumbled
opportunities.
Like they dug themselves into a little bit of a hole at some points.
I think it's both. I think it's equal blame where there's been times where it's been his fault.
And
there's been times where, for both drivers, honestly, where McLaren have dug themselves a hole with dumb strategy or doing the whole thing of we don't have a number one driver forever and then finally being like, oh, like we probably should have a number one driver for this season because like this is silly.
Papaya
and
strategy.
Waiting too long to do it. Yeah, papaya strategy, like, or what, papaya rule? Is that what it was?
Yeah, papaya rules.
Papaya rules. Like, I don't know. They took way too long to get to that point, and now here we are. But again, I think going into the season, the expectation was that they would win anything.
Yeah.
So if we can walk away with the constructors at least, and you have a lot of momentum going into next year, like that is a good sign. But I think if we take a step back from that, just from that view, I think for me and you both, what are we at? Seven races in a row, Max hasn't won? Eight? Seven or eight in a row he hasn't won?
It's been quite a few. It's very refreshing.
It's very refreshing to see. And obviously, you guys know we are not the biggest Max and Red Bull fans in the world. But it hasn't even been a case either where it's been like one team. You know, McLaren have looked the best over that stretch. But like we've had, you know, we were talking about before this, like six different race winners in seven or eight races. Like it's been exciting.
The other thing to note, because I found it very interesting just seeing the stat line it's not a conscious thing that you think about, I don't think, until it happens. But we haven't seen a safety car in seven, eight races.
Yeah, it's been like a historic run of...
It's been a long time.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a couple DNS, but they've been in make it back to the pits.
Exactly.
But we haven't had an actual like safety car in a while. We haven't had a lot of like...
We've had yellow flag interferences.
Interferences, but yeah, we haven't had like a major race like incident.
Yeah.
Was it Austria when Lando and Max collided at the end? Was that the last safety car?
I would have
or
to look
maybe,
it up.
Or maybe, I don't know. I forget if it's Silverstone because of the weather at some point they might have had one. I don't remember, but just insane. It's been insane. This Singapore not having a safety car and having all, I think they had all 20, maybe they didn't have all 20 finish, but having no safety car for the first time, I think, in its history was wild too. And that ended up being kind of a boring race. Cause like,
Lando
just drove away by 20 seconds and like,
He pulled a Verstappen on that, and it was one of those races where you see it. Early. Also, Singapore is supposed to be such a great track. Yeah. It is a great track, but that race did not
really
live up to.
And my guy won, and it still was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, this is not. But yeah, it's been very competitive. It's been a very exciting middle part of the year here, and I think it's going to be an exciting end of the part of the year, and I think. If we go high level back through everything, starting with the first race we had after the last time recorded, like Lewis breaking his non-win streak at the British Grand Prix in which I say every year, that is such a good race every single year.
It is.
It was awesome. We had the two McLarens and the two Mercedes battling it out. We had rain partway through, and then when the rain started, Lando looked ridiculously fast on the slicks in the rain, and then when it dried back up, they looked slower again. But Lewis was consistent the whole time, and it was such a cool moment, like him crossing and like the interaction between him and Bono, and like I think just getting that. Obviously, he ended up getting the the gifted win, kind of in Belgium, where George got DQ'd. Although
to be fair,
if George is on weight, maybe Lewis passes him anyways because of the way, I don't know, that was a weird ending and that didn't really make any sense, but I think if we go to, like, speaking of Lewis, like, to him to kind of get that off his back and, like, finally get back in the swing of that, it was just really cool to see.
It was a big, big sigh of relief, big confidence booster. I mean, he went on from that and has been, you know, driving lights out since then. I think, podium, he's picked up another win. At least another win.
Yeah, well, he had the belt win in Belgium, but he's had some podiums since then. Did he have another third win? I don't think he did.
No. I mean, he's been driving really well. I think Mercedes has turned it on a little bit, and that's, you know, in light of Red Bull dropping the ball a little bit, Ferrari just kind of being in no man's land, and McLaren just kind of running away with most of the races. I mean, they're following similar strategies. It's not like everything is, you know, totally mixed up, but it's good to see him doing well. It'll be really interesting how Ferrari finishes out this season. I think they have some momentum, but
Charles wins in Monza with a crazy strategy.
Yeah,
the ones that was insane. Very,
yeah,
rarely does Ferrari execute that well, but they did a good job that day doing it.
Or execute anyway, well.
You know, execute well.
it'll be interesting to see how their kind of mindset at Ferrari goes through the rest of the season. When Lewis shows up, it'll obviously be a big boost, but where are they at with their car development for next year and then again for 26? I mean, that question remains the same for every team, right? McLaren have great, are going to have great momentum going into the end of this season, going into next year, but they've spent a lot of time on development of their car this year, with Red Bull, just to stay in the fight. Yeah. So, It'll be interesting to see how that'll change up when we come to next year. And then what are the lasting impacts on 2026 car?
Exactly, because from everything, which this happens every new cycle, but every rumor we're hearing is like, oh, Mercedes has like started this years ago. Like they got the engine right now.
And it sounds good.
Everything sounds very good out of that camp because like it basically is like, oh, they just kind of punted on these years.
Yeah. For the Alpine engine is a tank.
Yeah. The non-existent engine they don't have anymore.
It's not moving very fast.
Back to, though, I think, to me, the most, and you kind of touched on it there, the most interesting storyline for me for the rest of this year and going next year is Ferrari, though. Because I think, you know, Red Bull is Red Bull. There's some other side drama we'll get into with Danny Ric and that a little bit here. But Red Bull's Red Bull. Like, McLaren right now, we kind of know what we're getting. Like, they have this momentum. It's just going to be how they finish the year and then what happens next year if they come with a top car between the two drivers and how do they handle that. But to me, Ferrari's most interesting because you've had a lot of stuff happen. They've kind of been in this, like you said, no man's zone. They kind of have a little momentum now, though. How do they, you know, parlay that into next year with Lewis coming? And how does that change things? What help does he bring? what dynamic does that look like between him and Charles? Because they're both very good drivers.
Yeah.
And not that Sainz wasn't, but there was Charles was kind of always their golden boy. And now you're paying Lewis, I think, based on what I've heard, more than what they're paying Charles to drive there. And then, you know, obviously you have Carlos exiting too, which we'll get to, like, in him going to Williams. So I think how
that dynamic
plays out the rest of the year, and it's just going
to
be interesting.
Yeah, I think for next year, if I had to lay down predictions for next year, right, I think we're going to see kind of Charles get back to what he has been the first few years at Ferrari, where he's able to get the pole positions, get these unbelievable laps, but has a lot of terminal crashes that are, you know, race ending, points defeated. He's not really staying in the fight because of those things. Whereas Lewis will be able to stick it in the podium without some, you know, crazy laps for qualifying, maybe not taking pole, but ending up moving up places during the race. And I think that'll be kind of the juxtaposition of that team is just the two of them
figuring out how they balance that.
Yeah. And whether that's a strategy that'll work in a long-term season, I don't know. I think it's a little dangerous.
It depends
on the car, obviously, but we'll see. Yeah. I think, you know, like you said, with Sainz leaving too, we have Williams, which is, I mean, every team you could take, we could walk through every team and talk for an hour about each team, everything that's going on, all the driver changes that we've seen just in the last
lot of shifts. Yeah.
Five,
we had a big shift,
you know, five races.
And I'm pretty sure, which bad take from us, which we talked about before this, I'm pretty sure like a couple episodes ago, we were like, probably not going to be many changes going on next year.
No, I mean, I think we said Colapinto was going to be great. I think we said,
I definitely 100% knew who he was fully. And
oh, we were spot on in our predictions. Yeah. I'm sure. But, I unfortunately that episode probably isn't online anymore.
No.
I think, you know, all, up and down the grid, it has been a very interesting season to watch play out. I think it was very stagnant at the beginning, obviously, with Max just running away with every race. And now we're at this point where we have, even if Lando's running away with a race, okay, now we can look down to the 10th through 12th positions where it was just, you know, Tsunoda, Ricciardo, and Ocon.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, Colapinto, you know, some of these, the younger drivers that we want to focus on.
The beer man.
We get to see the potential of these drivers and where they might be able to slide in because it's been such a stagnated driver's market the past few years.
Exactly. I mean, we've had a lot of movement.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of, similar to those who watch like the NFL, there's going to be a lot of ones where you look up at your TV start next year and be like, oh yeah, I forgot this, like Ocon on Haas.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be weird.
That is going to be.
If you're a big, I will say, if you're a Haas guy, if you're a big, like, America Haas guy, Bierman's going to be fun to cheer for because I think he's going to be good. His name's Bierman, and they're overall as a team been trending in the right direction over the course of this year. Like, that's that's a fun. Ocon being on that team is so random, though.
I've always struggled to root for Ocon.
I didn't say root for Ocon. I said Bierman.
I agree. Yeah. But as like trying to be a Haas person, or like a Haas supporter, it's going to be very easy to
hate on them,
to hate on Ocon. Some of them. I think Bierman is going to be, I was actually just thinking about this today and it kind of hit me. Joe's probably not getting a seat next year, right? The odds are low.
Yeah.
And
very low.
If I had been committed to a Joe supporter.
Yeah. Biggest Joe supporter I know actually would be you.
I think I'm going to have to, you know, change that up, pick a new driver to support, and I think Bierman has to be that guy.
I think it's got to be Bierman.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be Bierman. It's kind of like you're like, this is my fun, quirky
exactly.
driver to support.
Yeah.
Because it can't be Ocon.
If I look at out of the points, guys,
yeah,
got to pick somebody.
I think it's got to be Bierman because he's a new guy. It's a fun team. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not getting like I don't know. There's, for some reason, I get what Alpine did, but Doohan just doesn't do it for me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I almost want to, and this sounds terrible, he's pretty good on F1 TV. Maybe do that full time, buddy. Maybe
he's got a lot of experience.
He's got a lot of experience on F1 TV. Let's just think about it. That's a weird team, too. Him and Pierre's, that's a weird team. Sauber, have they?
Nope.
They haven't picked anybody, right?
I believe that's the one seat outside of Red Bull questions that is.
Isn't it both? Did they re-sign Valtteri? Or are we? I think it's both seats. Or no,
one
Hulkenberg.
Seat is,
Hulkenberg.
Yeah, Hulkenberg. Sorry, that's Hulkenberg right. Is, one seat is filled.
I think one seat. I mean, it's the rumors I'm hearing is that's, you know, they're flirting with Stilbottas potentially just mm-hmm. resigning there. But I don't know what's going to happen with that. It just feels random. I think, you know, we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but like Williams is really interesting to me because I think next year, like they're still going to have a stinky car next year, but yeah. Now you have two very good drivers in that car that can stretch it and get it into the back end of the points.
Yeah.
Carlos and Alex.
Yeah.
And then if they do get the Mercedes engine, which they're going to in 2026, and it's that good, I'm not saying they're going to be competing for wins, but, like, do we see them mid-pack again, like, competing for P5, P6? Because, you know, when Valtteri was there 10 years or whatever, like, right at the beginning of the hybrid area, like, they were mm-hmm. getting podiums, and they were still, like, flirting with that
yeah.
top of this. Like, does that happen? Because I still think, you know, where Carlos ended up, he ended up, but I still think he's a very good driver, and Alex yeah. is a very good driver, and they, I just, you know, James Fowles saying that they had the best driver's lineup was a little bit outlandish. But
that was something. That was something.
I don't think he's – I think the thing he's trying to say is, like, the for Williams, this is the first time they've had a, like, double – strong or it's been two strong experienced drivers.
Yes.
Because they've had yeah. one strong one in the past where it's either been, like, experienced or, in George's case, like, brand new, kind of this young talent, and you have Latifi with him, like –
yeah,
or get much yeah. there, but
or Stroll.
This is where they have a kind of a firm, like structured team, and I could see, you know, unless Carlos gets pulled up to Mercedes team because Antonelli stinks, but I don't,
yeah,
I don't know if that's gonna happen either. I could see this being a team for, you know, where it's 3-4 years they're together.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. It is kind of odd to think about, like the way that they perform together. Can either be amazing for both their careers or yeah. a career ender for one of them. Like
yeah.
a very quick career ender
yes,
for one of them.
If one of them's way better than the other, it could be an issue.
So I think they have to, as a team, take a large step forward for both of them to have a successful season in the eyes of themselves. Like
yeah.
they've set up their potential so much that it's time to start delivering on that. Not saying they haven't, because Albon's been able to drag it into the points. I think Colapinto will be a very interesting choice for potentially Sauber next year.
Potentially Sauber, or if he's their reserve driver.
And then maybe Audi down the road.
And I just, the Colapinto one, him being like pretty good in these couple
races.
He's
proven himself, yeah.
Throws an interesting wrench into next year already for me for that team, because if... Not that many, I don't know, they don't get the scrutiny the other team get because it's just not as popular of a team, but, like, if one of the two drivers, Carlos or Alex, like, is not good, do they start being like, ah, like, should we just throw Colapinto in there for,
yeah.
for a couple races? Probably not, but I don't know.
I don't think so. I think we see James Vowles trying to take this team from...
It feels like they're building something.
Yes. Yeah. It feels like they're trying to take that step towards, like, what Alpine kind of is, having a reserve driver... But
yeah.
not necessarily being forced to act on it because they're in a position where it's make it or break it. They're hanging out in the five, six, you know, team range.
Yeah.
I think they'll be picking up points as scraps when they're available.
Yeah.
And I think that will continue to be the case next year until potentially something larger changes in 26. I don't see them being a, you know, contender by any means in the next couple of years, but I think they're setting themselves up well
to be, or potentially
eventually
be.
Yeah.
yeah,
and because of that I think they're willing to loan Colapinto out potentially
yeah.
or like there are drivers and there's gonna be drivers over the next 2 years that will
surface.
Be terrible
yeah,
and,
be
and
terrible,
potentially
yeah. there's any people we talk filled. About in our preview next year like we're behind this guy and they're gonna stink
exactly yeah and with what we've seen because there's so many rookies so many young people that are in contention for some of these seats. And then on the flip side of that, there's a lot of drivers who have been on the grid for 3-4 years
yeah.
that it's time to change something up. So, like, you can understand that after this long, you know, period of no movement on the grid, why there's so much turnover at one time is there's so much potential that's been sitting around and just waiting to be seen and waiting to be thrown on the grid. And then there's also all these breakout performances that are helping them get there.
Yeah.
But then there's also these, you know, older guys like Ricciardo, like Bottas, like Hülkenberg and Magnussen, like those kinds of guys who have been on teams for the last 2 or 3 years because they're experienced drivers.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing you weigh is at what point do you make the switch to the younger guy?
Yeah.
At what point do you, either something happens that forced you into that, in the case of Mercedes, like Lewis leaving.
Exactly.
Where, you know, if Lewis decides to re-sign, they're obviously re-signing him, but this kind of forced their hand on being like, okay, let's, and then for the other teams, like Haas, which kind of decided on their own with dropping Magnussen and then, you know, Hülkenberg leaving, but when do we commit to these younger guys? And I think this is going to be good and bad too, because what everybody's doing is they're now chasing a next Max. That's what they're doing with these young guys, in my opinion, is they're chasing the, and Max is probably maybe an extreme example, but the Max, that class of like Matt, or not Max, like the, either Max, like the Lando, George, like where it's like
Piastri.
They're Piastri, like, can we get a guy who's, you know, 23 or younger and like is just absolute nails right away? And like, there's a few examples of that working. There's some of it not working. You know, unfortunately, RIP, not really, but RIP to our sweet prince from America.
Yeah. And I think that was more of a money deal.
Yes.
Than anything. But yeah.
But my point is there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that, you know, some of these teams, especially the ones that are toward the mid or lower end of the field, are looking to get these younger guys, hoping that they bring some crazy performances and can put it up and get, you know, one podium place is two or three spots at the back of the grid. So if they can get one performance like that out of these guys and then also develop them and be able to sell them to another team down the road or whatever it ends up being.
Business in the end.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think the desire to hit a home run with one or two drives rather than having somebody consistent in there that's developing, you know, helping to develop the car.
Yeah.
Also, think about this. 2026 is going to be a whole new car, whole new engine.
Yep.
What, you know, what's the benefit in getting an older guy who's going to be, okay, maybe 10 to 15 on the grid, but is going to be just helping to develop a car that you don't want to take anywhere.
You
don't care to do anything.
And you have to pay them most of the time, like more than you have to pay a rookie.
Yeah.
Like Magnussen's going to have to be paid more just because of the market and what he's already been paid compared to what, you know, Bierman's going to need to be paid for the first couple seasons or whatever. And unless you're getting a, you know, to me, the only reason you would bring someone old is if they're, like, that good, right? Like, if you're bringing on Lewis Hamilton, you're bringing on, like, somebody like that, then it's like, okay, let's do this for a few years. And, like, if you're already, especially if you're a top team, you have a top car already, like, let's take this risk. But, like, for these lower teams, it's the same premise as, you know, any of you guys that watch any other major sports, especially here in America, like, and even over, like, even with soccer in Europe and stuff, like, the whole development of, like, how can we take these guys that are younger and push them through our program and hope that, like you say, either we can sell them off to make money or you get a Lando situation where it's like he went in with McLaren and like he's probably going to be there forever now.
Yep.
And he's a great driver and like either one of those two outcomes you want out of it.
Yeah.
It's cheaper and easier to just be like, oh, let's try this guy. If he doesn't work, we'll just try another one the next year versus, you know, asking a veteran like Magnussen or somebody who's going to want a multi-year contract for way more money to step in and like do pretty much the same thing. Like what, that's where you got to weigh your options. Like, what do we want out of this?
Yeah. And you're going to learn something new with a new driver just about your car
in
general, because everybody's driving styles are
They're going to find, different. It's like getting a fresh set of eyes basically.
Yeah, exactly. I think, we've touched on a lot already. Down, up and down the grid everywhere is very interesting. Let's get back
to a quick run through of everything, or what do we?
Let's get to Red Bull. Let's talk about Red Bull. Let's talk about
what a disaster! Not a disaster, but what a kind of a collapse in a way.
It's yeah.
I would say collapse, and hear me out. Here's why: not only because I still think Max is going to win the Drivers' Championship, but I think they've lost the constructors now, which I think is twofold. One, because Perez has not been great this year, and two, they have taken many wrong turns with the car. But I'd argue the biggest thing is that team is just crumbling. Like, they're just falling apart. There's so much internal turmoil.
Yep.
And this all goes back to, you know, we discussed a little bit kind of the Horner stuff that started in this offseason. And now we have, you know, you have Nui that signed with Aston Martin.
Yep. There's another sneaky team we should
talk about too. We can get to them. But you had, didn't someone else leave too? Was it Wheatley?
Yep. The racing Wheatley? Director.
Racing director. He left for, I forget who he said he's joining, but he's got gardening leave until.
Yes.
Which is so sick to be paid for like 18 months to not work. That's yeah. Incredible. But he's leaving too, and you know, you already have this kind of internal turmoil within the team, and now you're kind of your best guys are leaving, and it just them making the wrong like they had not put a wrong foot basically for this model of car up to this point.
Yeah.
And then took the wrong turn this year at some point and like have regressed.
Yeah.
To where, you know, Max hasn't won in 6 or 7 races or whatever it is. And like we talked about things, they're both bringing upgrades to end the year. So things could obviously flip on its head again. It's not out of the question for the winning constructors, but at this, the rate it's going, like they're not even going to, I mean, it's going to be a 100-point gap to McLaren by the end of the season.
Yeah. And I mean, this is where you bring up Perez and how great of a driver he really is because
okay.
He was the one that was able to tell when they took the wrong turn. And
I will give you that. Yes.
At that point, he was able to feel the effects of the car. Max, you know, however he was driving the car, illegally running people off the road, everything under the sun,
yeah,
everything else that he does, was able to kind of mask that for enough time for them to continue down that path.
Yeah.
And now they're at the point where it's catching up.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is it's not Max not great is conclusion there.
That's really astute analysis from you. No, I agree though. Checo caught it.
Yeah.
And like you said, Max is an excellent driver and they kind of still gave him preferential treatment and he was able to kind of mask that. And you had McLaren at the same time kind of not fully getting the most out of this opportunity as well. And that kind of hid some of it as well. And then now we've seen the last 6 or 7 races where he hasn't really even been in contention. Like he hasn't even really been even for in qualifying and then the race there hasn't even been like which is weird for me to say. The first couple I was like, oh, he's still gonna win, but like the last 3 or 4 races, every single time I watch him, like I mean there's if he's P5, he's not winning the race. Like there's no chance he's gonna catch up because the car's not there and like they just haven't been as sharp on pit stops. Nothing has been as sharp and clean as it was, you know, 6 months ago, whatever, at the beginning of the season. And that has an effect on them, and with people leaving too. It's like you can kind of see the cracks there, and now it's
definitely
starting to fall apart. So I'm interested to see like then going not so much how this year finishes, but like what does next year look like? Because if they start out, you know, they were so far ahead at the beginning of the season for the first 6 or 7 races that like he built this huge gap anyway, so it didn't really matter. Like if they start out where they're at now, like this is just back to like 2017 through 2020 Red Bull, where it's like they're like kind of there as that second, third team, but like Max might still win here and there, but like they're just not really involved in
the title chase. Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting to see beyond that because we've already heard so much from Max about retirement and how interested he is in other things and how annoyed he is with so much going on in Formula One, whether that's due to, you know, the FIA, whatever it is, or if it's due to his team, you know, starting to crumble, whatever it is, he doesn't see a long-term plan. So when does that succession planning start? Because I think we've seen, you know, there's been constant competition for the second seat, but I think very quickly we're seeing, okay, Max isn't going to be here for the next 6 years. He's not signing another 12-year deal like Lando did, whatever it was. So with that in mind, Red Bull needs to start looking at their driver's program again and start developing another super high talent that's going to keep them in the fight like they are right now.
Yeah.
Cuz they're not attracting a ton of interest from external drivers.
No, because it's like there's the turmoil in it, and it's like you're going in a situation where it's like this is Max's team.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do with that? And I think people have seen how they've handled Checo, which hasn't been great. Well,
Checo and Daniel and Tsunoda and Lawson. The Daniel one,
which I guess we might as well touch on that now, but like all of it, like the way you mentioned Checo and then, you know, Tsunoda's been great and they keep being like, he's not quite ready. It's like, what else more does he need to do?
Lawson.
Lawson, same thing. And, you know, the Daniel Ricciardo thing was tough because they just really shady and kind of gross how they, like, did it and let him go. And this is a guy that's been part of your program for so long. And, you know, Helmut kind of came out and said, like, you know, the only worthy performance he had was in Mexico where he got, like, P4. And it's like, dude, why? So you expected him to get the V carb up to P4 every race? Like, that was impossible.
And
like,
what's your benchmark for Sonoda then?
Yeah.
Because Sonoda's not been, like, crazy outperforming.
No, they've been pretty much the same mostly this year. And, like, you're – I don't know. It's just – to me, it's just, like, crazy that they – this got to this point. And then, like, for them to not reveal it before Singapore – they kind of have a celebration room, like, basically disgusting. The week after, but going into a break, like, probably, by the way, like, Lawson's going to be the guy going forward. It's like, dude, this is not – he deserves better than that. And, like
– it was awful. I think –
it was awful, yeah.
The next time there's an injury, I think he needs to be the super sub. Whatever team would sign him for a one race, one weekend, just to get him in there and have a proper send-off, proper, hey, this is it, they would get so much clout for that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, from everybody.
Because it should have been – and he never won a title or anything, but it should have been the same thing that Alonso got the first time he retired, like that whole thing when Vettel retired. Like, although he didn't have the same accomplishment, like what he meant to the sport culturally and like what he brought, like to me, you can't tell the story of it without him.
I mean, he's the personality. He's the reason that Drive to Survive
it got so popular,
expanded so quickly.
He's the reason it's so popular here now. I'd argue it is. Or at least the starting interest from people here was because of Drive to Survive and because of him.
Well, he was in the start of Drive to Survive. The first few episodes was Danny Rick. So, you know, it was the looking back on it, the worst decision that he made. But it was the focus of that episode.
Yeah.
And or the focus of that season, really. And I think you know, he is a lot of the reason of why it blew up so quickly. Because there are other drivers that there was no personality.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was always, like Lewis said, he was always himself.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what happened, he always enjoyed it, and he always was himself. And that, you know, the sport is carried by the few guys that have, whatever that personality is, that's going to carry the sport, because you need a couple different ones. But, like, he fit into that mold, and, like, he was always himself, and, like, he was a crucial part of the sport. That's why so many, like, there weren't many people, you know, did his performance decline at the end and stuff? Yeah, but, like, where weren't many people arguing, like, he should not be out there at all, like, we want nothing to do with him? Like, he was such an integral part of the sport, and, like, I don't know, it's just, it was sad the way it ended and just disappointing how they handled it, and they really didn't, like, apologize for that or, like...
No, they still haven't said anything about it. I think... You know, it's also interesting to look back at how the McLaren, you know, thing went.
Yeah.
It was almost similar, hey, Danny's not Danny anymore.
Yeah.
Also, he's still under contract, but we don't think we're going to do that.
Yeah.
But they at least announced it.
They announced it and allowed him to
celebrate
his
success.
Celebrated it.
He had a win with McLaren. Yeah. Like, it wasn't an
totally
abysmal partnership. Yeah.
It just got to a point where it was... They got to the car to a point where they wanted something more consistent out of the second seat, which is fair.
Mm-hmm.
And did they handle it the best at all times? No, but like you said, they at least let everyone know. They gave him the send-off, like they had the whole thing at the end. And
it was respectful.
To me, he's still – I don't know what his relationship like with Zach Brown is, but I know he's still close with Lando. And like there's still that – there's not any like true animosity there. Whereas now it's like what does this mean for the future of them? Because like they basically brought him back in and like – you and I were at a point earlier this year where, like, he's going to get that second Red Bull seat. Like
the way they were talking about him.
Talking about him and stuff. And, yeah, it goes back to one of our favorite people, Helmut Marko.
Good Lord.
Just being a terrible person. But, like, he just, you know, it's the Michael Scott vasectomy episode of The Office where he's like, snip, snap, snip, snap. Like, that Helmut Marko just going back and forth the entire time about Sonoda, about Checo, about... Danny Rick.
Almost everything.
About all the drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dude, you can't just change your opinion and act like you were right the whole time or like change everything because like something race by race. Like it's a whole season you need to look at.
Exactly. You can't be a podcast like us. We're entitled to our weekly opinions.
Yes.
You, sir,
you
have a full time job.
But you get my point. Like there was just so you know, 1 week Tsunoda, like, he's ready to be brought up. The next week, he's not.
Exactly.
1 week, Danny Rick's going to be a second driver. The next week, he's not. Oh, exactly. Now we're looking at Lawson to be fill that seat. No, mm-hmm. Now Lawson's, like, not ready to drive an F1 at all. Oh, he'll for sure have a seat next year. It's like...
By the way, this random guy in F3 is...
It's going to potentially... Like, you just can't keep doing that and expect people to, like, be okay with it and not notice it. And I don't know. To me, too, like... Not only was it, like, you know, there's a lot of people that are anti-Red Bull now and, like, anti-Max, and that's fine. Like, that's understandable. But to me, the biggest shocker was, you know, all of F1 media coming out and big names coming out and being like, this is ridiculous. Like, you had Will Buxton and people of that stature tweeting and saying things like, "What? Why is this how we send him off?" And that's, to me, that's the big... Like, what happened here? It's like, when everybody is reacting like this, mm-hmm. like, what do we need to do to fix this?
The last time that almost all media was united in a, hey, this was messed up, was Abu Dhabi 2021. But...
All media being us.
Yes.
All media being this podcast.
In reality, though, it was
almost all media. Yes, it was almost all media. Yes, I agree.
But anyway, okay. The Red Bull, crazy situation. We'll see. It'll be interesting going forward to see... How I'm really interested to see how Tsunoda continues to perform.
Yeah,
what his potential is, where
he
goes
compared to Lawson.
Exactly.
Lawson now the rest of the season, because Lawson was good in the few races he subbed for Danny Rick last year when he broke his hand. Like,
yeah,
how does that dynamic work? Because it's like I said, it's going to be a Helmut Marko roller coaster of who is favorited to do what, and nothing would shock other than him saying like other than them replacing Max, nothing would shock me with that team right now.
No, and it's like we talked about race by race. Like, they could announce anything at any point, and it'd be like, oh, here he goes.
Anything could happen at any point.
Okay, let's jump to what we briefly touched on. Aston Martin.
Yeah, listen. I'll be quick with this, because I think you're going to have more thoughts on this, just by the way you're bringing this up. But I think they're going to be a wagon. And here's why. I think it's going to happen is, I just think Nui's that good.
Okay.
Everything he touches has been good.
Drinking the juice.
Well, you have... I don't even Aston Martin fan, right? Like, I'm kind of a Fernando Alonso hater. I think he's a trolly guy. And Lance Stroll is not a good driver. Before they become a top team, the Stroll thing needs to be figured out. But I just think for the car, I think Nui is... He's... At no point has he shown us anything that to the contrary of like, hey, you can't do this. He seems all into it, but to me, the biggest thing is you have Nui and you have Lawrence Stroll willing to pump unlimited money into that team. And so it's gotten to a point where at first I always thought, like, oh, Lance will be there forever, but like Lawrence, the vibes he's giving lately are he wants to win so badly that like I could see him being like, hey, son, it's time to hang it up and like giving Lance like a spot. Like high up in the engineering at the team, like something like that.
Yeah.
And them getting a good young driver, and then Fernando comes out and you get a driver transfer there. I don't know who that would be. Obviously, that's way down the road. But that's my thoughts. I think they're going to eventually, I don't know how long that is, but I think once they figure it out, like they're going to, because they flirted with it for the last 2 years, but I think he's going to help bring that to the next level.
I don't think I agree. Because I have yet to see them have a consistent quarter of a season, let alone a full season. So until they're really able to start hooking things up and prove that their car is not just a, you know, this is a track beater car.
Yeah.
That they're able to go out and do a, you know, podium or whatever it is. I don't know if they have proven their ability to hang.
That's fair, like but they've also never had Nui.
And that's fair. That's fine. You could bring that car, but then you also have to follow through with the strategy, the decision-making at
that's
a level that
also.
You've never been able
that's
to
fair
yeah. or never had experience doing. I know they're bringing a lot of experienced staff members from other teams, and that's fantastic. It'll be really interesting. I don't think the Stroll thing will... have much movement until they prove that they can be at the very front.
That's a fair point. I guess that's me saying that is with the crux of them like getting to that point.
Yeah.
Which I think my take would be that they'll eventually get there because I just am not going to bet against Nui. That's my kind of my reasoning.
Sure.
Now, if they don't get there, I agree with you. I think Stroll's there forever.
But I think if
they get there and there's that clear discrepancy of like, mm-hmm. oh no, like Fernando's winning all these races and Lance is really bringing the team down, like Lawrence could be like, hey.
But I think at that point it's too late, right? If you get to the point where you're there and then you can see the disparity before that's you right. are able to make that change,
it's kind of like Red Bull, right?
Then another team's going to catch you by that point. Exactly.
It's kind of like it's basically Red Bull this year where it's too late to it and it can't be flipped. And now, now I do think Checo
you hesitated. Like Stroll,
you get the point.
So, I mean, yes, I see the potential. I think
they'll be better at least.
They will take a step forward.
They'll be better. Mm-hmm. Whether the other factors catch up, mm-hmm. I think the car itself will be better. In terms of, they may not get to that point, I think, because of the other factors, but like I think the car being so inconsistent, that will be, I think, resolved somewhat
mm-hmm.
through Nui.
And the drivers, right? We know that Stroll is inconsistent. That's just a fact of life. We have seen a lot of inconsistencies in Alonso recently as well.
Yeah, I agree.
And
he's old.
I do think that a lot of that is attributed to this car is not great.
I think it's unpredictable,
I am going to outperform it this weekend, or I'm going to,
the
things that he's able to find when it works, it works. When it doesn't, it's just the regular car, and he's closer to Stroll. So I don't know how far they can get forward. I don't know how fast. Now, 26, they will have Mercedes engines. So if the Mercedes engine is that good, then they're competing with McLaren and Mercedes. And the other two teams become kind of out of the picture. So that could be interesting. We just talked about Williams, too. Does Williams take a step up to be challenge, in the conversation against Aston Martin?
Yeah, I don't know. Right now, we're getting a little. I guess I'm getting a little ahead of myself because right now, like the top four, and I don't see that changing in the next 12 to 18 months at least.
Yeah.
And there's a pretty. If you look at the season, there's a pretty big gap from the top four to the rest. Like we're basically arguing over who is going to be in 9th and 10th right now
mm-hmm.
until some kind of major change comes. But
and that answer is going to be Sauber next year. And who else? Probably with the way that Red Bull looks, maybe the sister team.
Oh, you mean, I meant 9th or 10th for points in a race, but you mean in the...
I mean in the standings.
In the standings.
Teams that are fighting 9th or 10th.
Yeah.
We're talking about the teams that are maybe stepping up from like... Because right now it is Sauber at the very bottom. And then we're talking about like Haas.
Williams.
Even I don't know. Alpine's such a weird
team. No, I would say... If I want to be honest with you, like if I look at the season right now, it's the top four.
Yeah.
The next five are kind of interchangeable for me.
Yeah.
At race to race. And then Sauber's really bad. That's pretty much it right now. So I think what we're discussing is, and I don't know what's going to happen with Audi. I think they're not going to be great either. But I think it's of those teams, it's like who emerges as that fifth team.
Yes.
Can't anyone separate because... No one's done that yet this year. Each of them have had their kind of flashes of being that team for a mm-hmm. race, but can any of them be consistent enough to be like, yeah, we are going to finish in the race, not mm-hmm. in the back of the points?
And so Aston Martin is fifth in the championship right now. Red Bull is 34th. RB is sixth with 34 points. It is a wide margin gap there, over 50 points.
Okay.
Aston
Martin would be that fifth team right now, but...
But I think Aston Martin started, what I was hinting at earlier, is they're inconsistent.
Yeah.
So they started the season really well. They had a downswing and then an upswing, and then they've been down since. It has nothing with them has stayed a points contender from week to week.
And if you ask me, like, going in, or like, right now, if you ask me, like, who's going to fight for the points at the end of the race, like, I'm not going to pick.
Exactly.
I'm just not going to.
Yeah, they haven't been on form recently. I think we're talking about Williams, Haas had a couple, but it was
strange. I'd say, like, right now, I'd say Williams would be that team right now, like, that.
It's just interesting.
Hard, yeah.
The driver changes throw in a whole nother, layer of that. If we look at Singapore, we had Alonso 8th, we had Hülkenberg 9th, and then Perez finishing out the points. So, and then our first Williams, Colapinto, was 11th. The other RB, Sonoda, 12th. So,
yeah,
it's tough to predict.
It's hard to predict. It's just, we're in a good and bad spot because it's like you're getting, you don't really know the order, but also like the top four is like all pretty close right now. So like at least the races are like competitive,
mm-hmm.
but that, I don't know. It's just this weird, we kind of talked about this at the beginning of the season, but there's just this weird sectioning of like, there's the top four and then a big gap and mm-hmm. there's these next few teams and then a big gap and
yeah.
Sauber like right now. And like, that's,
yeah,
it's just not, I don't know. It's tough to. It'd be more exciting if one of them was more consistent because you'd be like, can they take that next step and like challenge the top four? But yeah. like none of them have even been consistent the whole season on getting points.
And that's the weird thing is like, it's not really a battle at the back. It's like, okay, who's the team this weekend?
Yeah.
You know, it's just a weird, like, and that's very obvious and through practice.
Yeah, we don't even see a lot of like raciness between. The back teams.
Yeah.
It's like they kind of just like, here's the order for this weekend. It's this, and like that's, they kind of get in twos.
They
and
filter into
they
it.
They filter
yeah.
into it, and like we don't really hear much about it. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's just, it's a weird, because I feel like last year was the opposite, where you had Red Bull so far ahead, but like the middle and back teams, like there were some good battles, some good racing.
Yeah, but you knew where it was going to be.
You knew
where,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been, I mean, it's a good thing, right? We have
yeah.
actual order change-ups in the top four, relatively.
Yeah.
We have an unpredictable middle to back of the field.
Yeah.
And then a very predictable back of the field. And we
yeah.
and we can't even rely at this point on DNFs or safety car intervention.
No, because they don't like, happen anymore. They just keep making...
What are we doing?
Like, make the cars worse again.
Yeah.
Make the engineering worse. I want to see a car safely blow up in smoke. Like, tell me you don't. When's the last time we had just a raw engine failure on track?
That's
like,
true. That's
full
true.
Safety car. Like, it just doesn't happen anymore.
I think we need Pirelli to fumble the bag
a tire
on some of these tires.
When's the last time a tire just exploded?
We
it
had
just
a,
doesn't happen.
We had a couple of punctures, but
yeah,
yeah
but not
nothing
like
more
a
than
full
that.
Like Lewis 2020 at
mm-hmm.
Silverstone where it just explodes. Like,
yeah,
that,
give me a race win on three wheels.
Give me a race win on
and
three
we're
wheels.
Back alive.
Like, give me some. I think that's the part that's been most frustrating for me is there's not that extra added drama where, like, before it was like, oh, like, Latifi's going to mess something up here.
Yeah.
Like, crash. We're going to get a safety car. It's gonna,
I think with all the young guys, though, we're bound to
probably get
there.
Some of that. But, yeah, it's been weird because it's – I think there's uncertainty going into each weekend. But once the race gets through about 5 to 10 laps,
mm-hmm.
they kind of settle in and there's not much. It's like, okay, this whoever's in first, like, they're
yeah.
running. Like, there's not a lot of drama to change any of that.
Yep.
And we really even haven't had a ton of crazy weather either. We haven't had anything where we've had like ridiculous
yeah.
changes in weather or things that, I don't know. It's just, it's interesting. It's been an interesting back half of the year.
It
but
is. I think as we start to make this tour into like Austin has always been a cool track to
yeah.
watch. I don't know if it's been like the most entertaining races.
I think 21 was probably the last entertaining one, but
there have been some good yeah. moments there. You know, as we get to like the last few races, the Vegas race was unbelievable. That'll be
a
fun one.
We got a few sprints too, yeah, multiple sprints.
That's true. That's
Brazil
true.
Is always a top race.
Yes,
that's always great. You got do we have Qatar this year or Qatar. Is that how you technically say it? Cutter?
I have no idea.
I think we do. LaSalle or whatever it is. I don't know why I said it like that.
Let's go in order here. The United States Grand Prix. That'll
yep.
be a good one. Mexican Grand Prix.
That'll
that's
be good.
Typically a fun one.
Yep.
Brazil.
Always
like
great.
We talked
yep.
about. Vegas was phenomenal.
Vegas was the most... That one last year, which we talked about it, I thought was going to be so, so boring and bad, and it was
yeah.
one of the best races of the year.
Well, we didn't even know if it was going to happen after
yeah.
Vegas won.
Yeah.
All right, so after Vegas, we have Qatar.
Yep.
And then Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Which is hard to watch.
Abu Dhabi is, listen, for those of us out there, Abu Dhabi is like a PTSD one every year.
Yeah,
and it's really just tough. Actually not, it's not a bad track, but it's not really like a great track either. And other than 21, everything's already decided by then, so it's like no one really cares.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to use another word there, but I won't use that in the podcast. Like no one really gives, yeah. No one cares. No one cares. But
there's very few things that go on in the race that do change things. I
yeah.
mean, we saw Perez last year was
yeah, that was the only drama, I guess, in that.
So I think outside of that, it's more of a like celebration of the year.
Yeah.
There's always the, you know, Kimi's retirement or Bottas's retirement. Like, yeah. We don't know who it's going to be, but, well, we probably do know who it's going to be.
It should have been Ricciardo, then.
Exactly. But it'll be, you know, so many drivers last race with their team.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot of that.
We're going to get a ton of the steering wheel messages where we're like, purple 11H5, and it's going to pop up and say, like,
Merry Christmas, happy jingle,
like that type of stuff. Sure, that's in November. That's what it's gonna say. But that type of stuff, and like you said, it's more of a celebration now. If McLaren is really locked in these next couple races, mm-hmm. and Lando is on form and it wins pretty much everything, we could have an interesting last race then.
And if Piastri follows papaya rules and takes Max out a couple times next
year. Yeah, see, that's, and we didn't even talk about that. That's something they need to think about as well, is how can we be dirty within the rules?
Yeah, how can we be inspired by Red Bull?
How can we be inspired by Red Bull? I think that's, I am very excited for the backstretch, though, because it's usually a good run of races.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, there's a lot of two of them are a little biased, obviously, but like, they'd make a spectacle out of them. Like, two of them being in the U.S. too is like the Vegas one is going to be a spectacle. The one in Austin is always, like, it's not at night, but it's like, it's always a big show, basically.
Yeah. I'm super excited for the Vegas race this year. Yeah. Just to see, like, there was so much about it that was because it's the first time.
Yeah.
This time, I am so excited for it to be a, here's the racing, here's the excitement. Race
excitement. Like, yeah.
It's going to be, I think it was such a good race last year, and a lot of that was because nobody was familiar with the track. I think there's so much more that people know now.
Yeah.
And it'll be cool. It's just going to be a cool race.
It's
going
to be cool. And I think people outside of, I think you and I both had the idea of like, hey, this is going to be pretty sick that they're racing down the strip. But I think a lot of people outside the U.S. didn't really realize like what that entailed or what it meant. But like,
mm-hmm.
even the race was very good also, but like visually it was like, okay, this is so different than anything we've seen, where it's like, yes, they're racing to a city, but it's not tight. It's not a tight track like Singapore or some like
crazy long straights.
Crazy long, like the longest straight. I mean, I guess Baku too, but like just ridiculous straight where it's like, I don't know, being someone that's been, as a lot of people have, like been to Vegas and been on the strip, like mm-hmm. thinking about cars driving down that at 220 miles per hour, like in the dark. And I think too, it being like, what was it? Was it 10th? It was 10:30 local, right? The race, I think it was like 1:30 our time. Like it.
Well, the whole calendar or the whole schedule got thrown off after the first.
Oh yeah,
because
it got delayed,
and
then like yeah, but the because what was it the suit like the sewer cover for popping up
signs
with
the sewer cover, yeah.
But the drivers do a lot of cool stuff for that with like their helmets and like there's just I don't know, there's a lot of fun stuff at the end of the year. You're going to Qatar again, which is the first time since 2021 where we had a awesome qualifying race there, and then. I mean, like, I've stood on this hill the entire time. Like, Brazil is one of the best tracks in the calendar. Always great racing there.
It is, yeah. And the weather is always unpredictable, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, Austin, we don't typically have weather. Vegas, I think, will be pretty straightforward. Yeah. Qatar, Brazil, though.
Brazil will be the one. Brazil mm-hmm. will be the one. Maybe Mexico, too. You could get Mexico potentially, too. But
it's so...
Brazil is going to be mixed. It's always mixed conditions. It always is.
The altitude of Brazil or the altitude of Mexico is
always
such an interesting.
That always makes things interesting too with the engines because the cars just burn up basically.
Mm-hmm.
Operate up there. And I think you see a lot of weird, like we saw that last year. I don't remember who it was. Like there was a lot of weird like teams being like, wow, they're pretty good here. Like,
random.
How did that happen? Like, well, I mean, Ricardo got, I'm pretty sure he got P4, right? Wasn't it? Remember he got the penalty and then he charged back through the field? Like he had the stupid penalty against, was it against Tsunoda? Was it his own teammate? Or was it Checo?
Probably.
Who was it? I don't remember who it was, but he got the penalty and then he drove like insane the rest of the way.
Yeah. Hamilton had a good one.
Hamilton had a good one too, but like that one's fun too because like you got the, at the end where they drive into the stadium. Like
if it's not Max, it's going to be great. Getting the lift up of the car is so
cool. If we get a lift
cool.
up, yeah, the lift up of the car and like that whole thing. I mean,
can we please see a Checo win?
I will be rooting for a Checo win there. You have to. If you're silly if you're not rooting for a Checo win at Mexico.
Yeah.
Just like, which we can't do anymore, you've been silly to not root for a Logan Sargeant win at Austin or Vegas.
Yeah, he only had three chances a year.
The shame, to me, which I didn't even think about this, the biggest shame is them cutting Danny Ric before the Austin race is crazy.
Yeah, that is true.
That's, do you know how much money they could have made in marketing just off of that?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think we have a good final stretch. I think it's going to be very telling. It's, this is a big stretch. To me, it's less of, I mean, obviously for finishing order for like the back six teams is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
But to me, this stretches, which normally I'd argue the opposite. I'd say, because pretty much everything's set in stone, like, hey, this is very important for like the back teams to finish order.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is more important for the top four, not for finishing order, but like what momentum do the top four have going
for
into next
year?
Yeah. Like, what are you bringing into next year? Because if like, if Red Bull still stinks, like, what turmoil does that cause?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if Ferrari are hot to end the year, like, you're riding high then if you're a Ferrari fan, because
absolutely,
you're like, we got Lewis coming in next year. Like, we're going to, it's a new year. Like, we're like, McLaren, same thing. Like, are, if you're at least, even if you don't win the drivers, if you're consistent and take the constructors, like, you're riding high going into next year.
Yeah.
And then Mercedes is kind of a weird one, because it's like, you got, you're losing the entire face of the history of the team, basically, to your rival.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this young kid coming in next year who we didn't really like, talk about that yet, but.
Yeah, he, I mean, let's briefly touch it, right? Like,
yeah,
it'll be so interesting. Like, he has got to be the one driver that I'm most excited to see drive the first two weekends of next year, because the excitement based on 2.5 laps of his free practice session is like, it just, no, we have not witnessed that amount of like forced hype on a driver. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, they were making sure we knew.
And they continue to bring it up. It's like, hey, actually, he's so fast.
Yeah.
He's so fast.
Yeah.
George saying, I am sure I'll be pressured by this guy. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's see it. So I think I'm really, and obviously I'm a little bit of a Mercedes guy, so it'll be exciting to see, you know, what the potential is, and how long is there enough potential that we can see, even if he does continue to wreck, is there enough potential that he can become?
I forgot he did wreck in the one.
Yeah. Is there enough potential that he can become
a
championship driver?
I think my favorite, my favorite thing about the young drivers, or like potential reserve drivers or stuff, it's the exact same as like for the NBA, of like a video of like a guy who had a down year the year before, like working out basically, and like, oh, he's looking good for this year.
Yeah.
The same chatter happens with F1 reserve drivers and young guys, of like hearing rumors that at a private test run, like, he would have been P2 on the grid, like right behind Max. It's
that's
like
Ricardo. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Ricardo's the example I'm saying there, but like, that's, they'll do that stuff with all of them, where it's like, he would have been placed here. It's like, he was driving by himself, like, with no other pressure or anything going on. Like,
yeah,
you
weather's
can't compare
different.
The two things.
Yeah. Dude's neck is 4 centimeters wider than it was last
year. Yeah, like, that, it's that type of stuff. And some of it I get, and some of it, like, to me, it's, you got to prove it, though, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Well, it's both the driver and the team, though.
Yeah.
You know, so in that aspect, it's a little bit interesting, because you can only do so much as a driver.
Yeah.
Even if Antonelli does come out and he's unbelievable, is he going to be able to drive to the abilities that are needed to potentially drag that car up to the level of McLaren next year?
Yeah, or how does he stack up with George?
Yeah.
Because George is now a bench, that's now the benchmark then, is George. Like, how does he stack up to George? Because, you know, that's what the same thing when George was brought to Mercedes, mm-hmm. Lewis was the benchmark, and, you know, that was the standard. And it's like, you had something to judge it off of. Now it's a new standard, basically. And how does this impact George? How does...
Something I just thought about is, George at Williams spent, 5 years of driving with a rookie teammate.
Yeah.
So,
You could say a garbage teammate, but sure.
Well, garbage teammate, but he made them look like garbage.
Yeah.
They were rookies that he taught or didn't teach. Jeez. Whatever he did
there.
That experience is going to help him here.
Help him here, yeah.
So, we'll see how it goes. It'll said, the benchmark.
It'll be interesting. And, what, you know, Antonelli's the only, you correct me if I'm wrong, one who's coming in next year that has not had any F1 racing, right?
Two and a half laps.
Well, yeah, but you get what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Bierman's raced a couple races and has shown, yeah, he can handle it.
Yeah.
You're going to have Lawson next year. He's racing a couple races. Yeah. Can handle it. And, like,
potentially Colapinto.
Potentially Colapinto, who's shown he can handle it. Like, Antonelli, all we've seen is those 2.5 laps, whatever, and yeah, that's all we have to base it on. So mm-hmm, it's going to be – but that's not to say he's not going to be good. We had DeVries a couple of years ago who looked mm-hmm awesome in his experience in F1 and then was terrible,
yep,
once he got there full time.
Yep.
And the other thing, too, with Antonelli is he's 18, right? I think he turned 18, or is he 17 still?
I think he will be 18.
I think he will be 18 when he races. Like, that's the youngest driver they've had in F1 in a while. Like,
yep,
since you had, like, George and Lando, and then were, like, 26 or whatever, or, not sorry, not 26, they're now that, 19 or whatever when they brought him in.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Lando was 19, but, like, that, Max, you haven't had, 17. Yeah, you haven't had someone this young since Max, basically, Max, yeah, starting in F1, and someone who, I don't know, yeah, like, I don't think he's winning F2 this year, or he's not going to, I don't think. So it's like, it's not like a Piastri situation where it's like, okay, this guy's won it every single, like, mm-hmm, he's won at every tier, like, we're good to go. So it's,
yeah,
you're betting on more raw talent here. It's more of like, he's got all the tools. Like, can you prove it and do it now?
Yeah. Which, yeah. And they're going to have so much, like, this is Toto's child, right? Like, this is,
yeah, that's,
this is going to be,
he might be his actual biological kid. We don't know.
This is going to be like the, you know, who, name another, like Stroll, right?
Yeah.
Not to the exact extent, but there's going to be such a leash, you know.
Toto's going to defend.
Yeah, there's going to be so much more. There's going to be so much more, like, excuses made for him, yep, if there's any mistakes made. Whereas, like, every other driver, most other drivers are fighting for their lives. For their lives. Like,
yeah, he's going to have a long leash.
Yeah.
He's going to have a long leash. I think it's going to be, unless he is, like, just dreadful. Like, yep, DeVries bad, he's going to, yeah, get at least 2 years, but I would say probably three, because you'd probably give him 2 years with the new regs before they would make a change. And again, unless he is like, but at least two.
Yeah.
Unless he is, again, like, just absolutely horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see how you don't, if Logan Sargeant got multiple years,
mm-hmm,
like.
How much money is Antonelli bringing in? I mean, do we know?
What should we look? Let's look this. I'm going to look right now.
I know, like, it has to be at least a decent amount. Also, he has shown very, very high potential. So, I, you know, not saying that money is the only factor here, but I think that is always a large question on, like, when they sign him. Is it for a 2-year contract, 3-year contract? I think it's 2-year contract.
Yeah.
But I think that's, you know, all things that go into that, rather than just his ability.
There wasn't much on it, but the one article said roughly like 40K euros a week, which would be like 2 million for the year.
Not bad.
Which is a pretty standard rookie
mm-hmm
deal now, but, you know, a million, 2 million, somewhere in there. But yeah, it's way less than George, obviously, is probably making, or I'm assuming. I don't know what George is at.
So getting paid is one thing. I'm thinking about sponsorship money that he brings.
Oh yeah,
to
I don't know how well I'm not sure what he's bringing in.
Yeah, most rookies will make 550 to 850.
Yeah,
they're not raking it in until they prove a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, how much is he bringing in sponsorship to like Sargeant clearly, you know,
brought a lot.
Brought a lot of sponsorship.
Joe is similar.
Came from a billionaire family, right?
He has Chinese backing.
Yeah.
So I don't think his family is, but
he's got the money.
He's
from,
connected.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing with this too, is it's, and that's always the interesting thing is like, what are these, either you are so good or you have the back, like mm-hmm. you're so good that you're going to get the backing, or you just have the backing
yeah.
for a certain reason. Like a lot of it is like in families, and it's like that you are into racing as a family and like, you're kind of have a name
mm-hmm.
based on it. But a lot of it is just like, can they bring in sponsors? Like, are they good enough to drive that value up and bring money to the team? Which is such a different dynamic than other sports. Like yeah. in football, like in the NFL, it's whether you have zero followers, 100,000 on Instagram, they don't care.
No.
If you're good, that's going to get you paid.
Yep.
Whereas like, that's a little different in F1. Like, you can't, if you can't get any backing, but you're good, like, unless you're insanely good, like they're going to be like, nah, we'll get somebody with more money.
Yeah, that's why a lot of these drivers sit on the sidelines for so many years.
Yeah, and that's why it's always I kind of hate when they use the term like the 20 best drivers in the world, because like it really probably isn't. Roughly, so
at
yes.
The, at
but,
the end of the day, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you had to generalize it, sure. But like it's tough because some of them don't get that chance, and some of them do get a chance that probably shouldn't have that chance based on money. So, but yeah, that's going to be – the whole Antonelli system is going to be interesting because I think that's going to be a case too where because of the linkage between Williams and Mercedes, not that they're going to be thinking this, but – specifically American fans of Mercedes or fans in general that view it like from a lens of like Williams being the junior team. Like,
yeah,
if Antonelli's bad, everyone's gonna be like, dude, why are we not bringing Carlos up to the main team?
Put somebody up there, yeah,
or Alex, one of the two.
Yeah,
and I know they're not gonna be thinking that, but that's what the general public is gonna be like.
And
when
I think,
and I know on the shows and with the media, that's gonna be discussed. Like,
yeah,
I'm sure if Antonelli starts. If we're six races in and he's way behind George, someone's going to ask Toto in an interview, like, hey, have you looked at Alex or Carlos to bring up? Like,
yeah,
have
absolutely.
You considered that? It's going to happen.
Yeah.
How does Antonelli handle that?
Yeah, and I think it helps that Williams is kind of stepping out from that, you know,
they kind of
second
are with,
team
with,
to
what
more of
a
sister team.
The choices they're making, they're
right.
more of a sister team now.
Exactly.
But it's going to be human nature to be like, hey. And
yeah.
you and I would probably do the same thing if he's that bad. I'll probably like somebody, one of us would probably be like,
yeah,
hey, like, have they thought about looking
Let's
at like
think about
Carlos
this.
Just got points, you know, eight races in a row with Williams, like, and Antonelli is at the back of the top 10 with Mercedes. Like, have we thought about this or thought like, hey, this is something that could work? But
yeah,
I don't know. Is there anything else that you wanted to? What did we not touch on? I feel like we did a pretty good job of.
I think we took a long road, but I think we got through most
good,
of
though.
Everything.
I think
yeah.
we got a good update there. We got, like you said, it's six races left.
Yep.
Enough points. Now, it's at the point, for those of you guys that aren't aware, if Lando wins everything and Max finishes second, Max will still win the title. So Lando needs a little bit of help in terms of other people finishing between them. So it's going to be really tough. I guess if you're giving predictions, let's end it with this. I think we're probably both in the green. Drivers is going to be Max. I would think. I would be shocked if it's not.
All right,
Max. Unless you disagree, but
I will say, for the sake of saying something different,
yeah,
we're going to go with Bottas getting signed in the last Sauber seat. We're going to go with.
Oh, I was talking about both predicting the finish order, but sure, go on.
Yeah, no, I was going to go with just like the main three things.
Okay.
That being one of them.
Okay,
I'll give you Lando.
Wow.
Why not?
Wow. I'm going to blame you for jinxing it now and it doesn't happen.
Okay.
That's okay.
Okay.
Keep going.
I'm going to go with Perez keeping the second seat at Red Bull next year. And let's see. Lewis Hamilton win at Brazil.
Okay. I'm going to go Max drivers. I'm not going to say anything about the constructors because I'm not going to jinx my team. So I'm just not going to say anything about it.
Fair enough. I think that one is fairly straightforward.
I would agree with you, but I'm
yeah.
not going to say it.
Okay. All
I'm
right.
not going to put those words out there.
I
but,
heard that.
I also think, but I agree with you on Bottas. I think Bottas gets that seat just the way it's trending. And I just think it just feels right. I don't know.
Somebody's got to fill in for Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah. I think we're going to get one surprise race win in the next six. Not in terms of, like, it's going to be someone from the top four. I don't think we're going to get someone outside the top four winning. I mean, there's going to be one race in the next six races where it's like, how did this guy win this race?
Okay. So, like, a big safety car race or
yes,
something.
That's,
okay.
I
okay.
guess,
okay.
Try, I explained that very poorly. But I think we're finally going to get in one of the last six where a guy that qualified in the top four, qualified P11, executes the safety car time perfectly and rides off into the sunset and wins, and you're like, that's gross. How did he? Like,
yeah.
He had no business winning that race.
All
Hopefully
right.
it's not Max, but he's one of the people that could do that.
Yeah.
But you get what I'm saying. It's like, I think we're going to finally have a race where it's like chaotic enough where like, it's a, like when George won in Austria because Max and Lando crashed, that was like, dude, how did he just, like, he had no business winning that race and he won it. I think we're going to get something like that, whether it's a safety car or people crashing. With that, I think we're going to get one more disgusting Max Lando crash.
Okay.
My prediction to, I'll tag along with your Brazil one. I think we're going to be 20 laps in the finish, and it's going to be Max in front with Lando catching up, Lewis 20 seconds behind in third, and Max and Lando are going to crash, and then Lewis will win the race.
All right.
That would be all right. What I'd go with. And then I think the other one I'll say, and this is just a hope more than a prediction, is I hope we get a proper Ricardo send-off at Abu Dhabi. Even though he is not racing, I don't know what that looks like or how they do that, but I hope somebody finds a way to do something.
No, we probably won't. You brought it up earlier, though, before Austin. How great would it have been if he rides off?
Like he rode off on a Longhorn?
No, on Horsey McHorse.
On Horsey McHorse, yeah. How could I forget?
Just
on Horsey McHorse.
Off into the sunset for his retirement would have been
with, like, the mutton chops. Remember we did, like, the mutton chops 1 year?
Absolutely.
I'll go easy prediction, Max driver's champion, and then my, like, more hot take, which is kind of a hot take now because of the way the last 6-8 races have gone. I think we're going to get a monster safety car.
All right.
Something race along that line. But, yeah, we got 6 more to go. Hopefully it's an exciting end.
The best race of the season, I'm going to go with Las Vegas.
I'm going to go Brazil because I've just died that hill always. But
fair enough.
What do you think is going to be the worst one of them? Because I think the answer is easy here.
Qatar?
Yeah. Qatar's the answer. Qatar or Qatar, however you want to say it. I think in 2021, the qualifying was big there, and it felt bigger because Lewis needed to win to, like, keep the pace up.
There were stakes.
I think it's going to be a stinker. Yeah. I think it's going to be because, yeah, it's a night race, but, and I'll wrap this up here, but it was a night race, but, like, it feels like, other than that, it was pretty boring in 2021. Like, it wasn't, there was no competing. They just kind of all got in order and, like, finished in what they were in, and, like, it's kind of a funky track, but.
Yeah.
What was that?
Where was Sergio Perez's first win?
Ever?
Yeah. When he was still in the BWT,
that was racing. It was point. Bahrain, but the outside
Bahrain,
track. Sakir. Sakir, right?
Yeah,
isn't
that was beautiful.
That where he got to drop the P20, and that's a big throwback for me.
God, I love that.
That's a big throwback. Now, 21 was the one where Lewis had the great qualifying lap, and then Pierre ran out of the AlphaTauri engine failed. On the straight, so Max couldn't finish his lap, and then Lewis just. I mean, he ended up winning by 10, 12 Smoked seconds, but it wasn't. But that was. Not to dig up 2021 again. That had stakes because Lewis had to win those. Like, he won Brazil, he won that, and then he won
to stay
Saudi Arabia
to,
like, tie it up at the end. And then we got a... Which...
We don't have to talk about that one.
Yep.
Anyway, we can't wait for the next couple races. Thank you for listening.
We'll see you in... We'll see you here.
See you
in our country. We'll see you here.
Local racing.
Goodbye.